This gospel always reminds me of my freshman year of college. I had a random roommate who wasn't Catholic, and him and I would debate about religion all the time, all day, all night. Since he wasn't Catholic, he held that the Bible was their only source of revelation, so he took it very literally. Whereas I, being a Catholic, I held scripture and tradition. So the debate was always, how are we able to know what we know, or how are we supposed to look at scripture? And I would challenge him, I'd say, you take scripture literally, word for word. I said, have your eyes ever caused you to sin? And he's like, I know where you're going with this. And he's like, yes, they have. I'm like, great, pluck them out. Why do you still have them? And the way that he responded to me, he said, if I was a good enough Christian, I would do that. And I couldn't believe that he would say that. Because as your priest standing before you right now, I'm telling you, that is not what Christ meant. Jesus did not want us to do this to ourselves. But I think there are two things that we can get out of this gospel that are extremely important. The first is how to get sin out of our life. And the second is the way that a Christian is able to live. I think he was laying the foundation for how a Christian is able to practice his life. So first of all, how to get sin out of our life. I think it's obvious that Jesus used this very explicit analogy to state that we need to do whatever we can to get sin out of our life. That's how important it is. That he uses a very grave analogy to say that it's not worth it. That you need to get the sin out of your life. And it's something that can be applied to our own lives. What is causing us to sin? Is it our phone? Is it TV? Is it conversations? Is it certain friendships? Are those causing us to sin? I think we need to be really honest with ourselves, and that there are some things that we need to get out of our life if they are causing us to sin. The second one, which maybe isn't as clear, I think Jesus is laying the foundation for how we're actually supposed to live by giving us this analogy. He uses the analogy of a hand, a foot, and an eye. Now, this was given to me by a good priest friend of mine who is a teacher at one of my universities. He says these three things, the hand and the foot and the eye, relate to the evangelical counsels. So the evangelical counsels are poverty, chastity, and obedience. And these are the three promises that a religious takes when they become fully professed, that a brother or a sister or someone who completely dedicates themselves to the gospel will promise these three things, poverty, chastity, and obedience. The reason that they do these three things is because they think that these three summarize the gospel. And it is through taking these three promises that they're able to live out the gospel to its fullest. So my priest friend would say that it's the hand, that in the hand we're constantly reaching and grabbing for things that we want. And he said that one always relates to poverty. And the foot, with our feet, we want to be able to move. I want to do what I want. He said that one always relates to obedience, and that we're called to be stable, to be in one place. And the eye, it's with our eyes that we usually sin with unchastity. So what does this mean for us, people who are in the pews, people who are not living the religious life with these strict promises? Well, if these were a way of the gospel being summed up, of how to live, then we may not be called to live them to as a strict of an extent as the religious life, but we're called to participate in them as much as we're able to, all of us, even myself. So I thought of a couple different questions that we can ask ourselves whenever we come across these things. So poverty, how do we look at money? That money itself isn't evil. Money is a good. We need it for our life. And what I'm saying and what the church is asking is not that all of us are St. Francis's. We're not all called to give up this. But we are called to look at money, that money can corrupt us. That whenever we go to purchase something, a very easy question for ourselves is this a want or a need? Do I really need this in my life? Is this going to complicate my life even more? obedience. How do we look at church teaching? That when the church suggests something for our own well-being, such as going to Mass, or even on the moral end, on contraception or abortion or same-sex marriage, how do we look at that? How do we consider these things when we look at obedience? Now, just like what I said, that poverty isn't St. Francis, obedience isn't just blind obedience. We're not just called to submit and do whatever the church says. No. We don't believe things arbitrarily, but there are good reasons for what we believe in. And when the church suggests these things in our life, they're not trying to complicate your life or make your life miserable. They're trying to help you choose what is good and what is beautiful. So do I look at obedience in that way? Do I look at church teaching in that way? In chastity, how do we look at our spouse and other people? Now, chastity isn't celibacy. All of us are called to chastity to one extent. And I think it is through living these three things that we all actually practice what Jesus is wanting us to do. And I think if we're honest with ourselves throughout this next week, these will pose a huge challenge to us. And it'll kind of make us uncomfortable. But just because something makes us uncomfortable doesn't mean that it's bad. I mean, the gospel at times is very uncomfortable. The gospel that we just read today is quite uncomfortable. So throughout this next week, if you notice that something is causing you to sin, I encourage you to cut it out of your life. That it's better to not have this thing in your life than to be led into sin. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to be completely thrown away, but maybe there are certain ways in which you can moderate it. Maybe there are certain boundaries that you can put up that prevent you from falling into sin. Because the whole point of all of this is that we become better Christians. The whole point out of all of this is that we come to love Jesus even more. And I think that you should just, including myself, honestly look at our own lives. And it's through this that we'll all become Christians better and love Jesus even more.